At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's time for the Mercedes in the Morning Pre-Show, Mix 94.1.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the pre-show. It is Wednesday, July 16th. Thank you guys for joining us this morning. So good to have you here. Made it to midweek and we are ready to get things going. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everyone feeling? Good?
I am fighting a little bit of a summer cold right now. So I went to the doctor yesterday to see if I could get some antibiotics. And he said, you don't really have any, like a sinus infection or anything. He's like, you have like the summer common cold. And so I was like, oh, so you can't give me anything? He's like, it's just, it's not going to do anything for you. You basically have a virus and you're going to have to work this one out. So I was like, dang it. I was so excited to get some drugs, but it's not going to do me any good.
Darn it. No drugs.
So I've been taking like some Claritin and, you know, Benadryl and all the stuff that makes you pass out. So I kind of passed out a little early last night just because I wasn't feeling 100%. But I feel a little bit better this morning. Not 100%, but just I feel like I'm on the mend. So I know you guys both had colds or I don't know. Did you guys have like sinus infections or what happened to you guys?
Yeah, something similar to yours. And, you know, nothing beats time, right? Just got to give it time and stay hydrated. Nothing that you don't already know. So I hope you get better faster.
Yeah, well, we're on our way. We are on the mend. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. I saw Superman yesterday at South Point and I can see. I can see what the hype is all about. It is really good. I can see why Ramon from the show saw it 5 times.
is he up to 5 already?
I think it's just 3 times.
Oh, is it 3?
Still, yeah. That's multiple times. You know a movie's good if you go within the first week of its release and go see it again again. That was me with Wicked. I saw Wicked 3 times when it came out. I was like obsessed and I cannot wait for Thanksgiving. That it comes out Thanksgiving weekend,
yes!
Right? Oh my,
part 2.
Oh
yes.
My gosh, I cannot wait. So yeah, so thumbs up. I'm gonna go see it at some point. I just haven't made it yet. That and the Fantastic Four. I'm not like the biggest superhero movie fan, but I'm really intrigued by both of them. I want to see it.
For me, a movie is good because I'll be honest, I don't follow, you know, all the, you know, I don't follow the past history of Superman and series like that. So if I can just watch it without knowing, you know, the past history, and it entertains me, then I know that it's good. At least for me. Do you know what I mean?
So, like, you don't know the history of Superman?
I saw the original, but I haven't seen any different iterations of it.
I was obsessed with the show Smallville. Did anybody watch Smallville?
Yes.
That show was my jam. I loved that. Tom Welling. Like, I loved that. That was a really good, in my opinion, incarnation of Superman.
No spoilers here, because I saw the movie on Friday, but... Mm-hmm. Mercedes, if you've seen Smallville and you loved the show, there are little Easter eggs in the movie, kind of.
Heard that.
Oh, okay. My gosh.
I don't know. Are there like cameos?
Yes.
Okay. I kind of had a feeling. Yeah, I kind of had a feeling. You don't have to say like who or anything, but I had a little bit of a feeling because people are alluding to it. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm going to have to check this out.
Julian, at the end, do you think that it needed more, or did you like the way that the story ended?
That's a great question. I don't want to give away any spoilers, like shared, but I do have questions in regard to the end. It felt a little incomplete.
Okay.
Is that fair to say?
Yes, because me, my husband, and Ramon were actually talking on Saturday morning when we saw each other at the Aces game. And we did feel like, yes, the movie overall was incredible, the way it was directed, the actors, etc. But there was a part of me that wanted more from a certain character. And I think they might be doing that either as a cliffhanger or because they're doing more movies. Like
Crypto.
No.
I know who you're talking about.
I love crypto, though. I'm a dog lover.
I've just seen pictures of crypto.
And the crypto popcorn buckets that, like, don't even, like, fill up, like, the palm of your hand of bucket of popcorn. It's the funniest thing when you see those popcorn buckets.
Oh, yeah. I'm super excited to check that movie out. It's been a really good summer of movies. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have been well fed. I love the F1 movie. I'm looking forward to this one. I thought the Materialist was really good. I don't know if that's considered a summer movie, but yeah, there's been some good stuff that came out this year.
Absolutely. I think, what other movies am I looking forward to? I think really just Wicked.
Wicked for good.
Yeah.
Wicked for good. Mm-hmm. We are counting down the days. So yeah, we have a lot coming up on the show this morning. And speaking of movies, we do have your tickets to the advanced screening of Fantastic Four. We've got your reserve seats all set, ready to go, 7:30 with the Mega Minute. Make sure you are listening for that. And right now, let's get the show started. It is time for the pre-show. You pick them. You guys get to pick the first song of the show. Do you want to hear Strike It Up by Black Box? Do you want to hear Steal My Sunshine by Len?
I know.
Or do you want to hear All For You by Janet Jackson? Those are your choices. You can vote right now. We would love to hear from you. Tweet us on X or Threads at Mercedes in the AM. You can vote on our Facebook page, which is Mercedes in the Morning, or text or call us right now, 702-364-9400. We'll count your votes now and reveal the winner next on Mix 94.1. Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the Morning. I won't lie, I am deep in the LaBooBoo game. I mean, we're talking like 20 of them deep. But
you are.
But all these pop culture trends and toy trends and stuff, they're not for everyone, and I never try to push my stuff on anyone. I know that the two of you are not into it at all, but I like when people go off on them, I'm like, it's not that serious. Like, let people enjoy what they want to enjoy, you know?
Yeah, right. Here's the thing. I read this quick story of this comic book store now that's jumped on the LaBooBoo craze called One of Us Comics in Henderson, and they're a comic book store, and the fact that they jumped on LaBooBoos, I can understand why people love them. I just don't collect them. But then, you know, I just started thinking about, like, these trends, fashion trends that people get into that I just could never. And one of them, first thought that came to mind, is Crocs. And I hope no one here, does anyone hear what Crocs?
Oh, you don't know what you just started. I just felt the gravitational pull of the earth shift the second you said the word Crocs.
Can I give my defense?
Of course. Okay. I'm not, no one's attacking you.
Well, I mean, okay. My reasoning is, now if it's for like job benefits, like if you're a doctor or something along those lines, I totally understand. But if you're going for that, I don't know, that lazy look, that just got out of bed look, the fashion look, if you will, I never understood what the attraction is for them, because they're so, for me, they're really hard to look at.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's brutal. I'm going to divert, because I personally don't wear Crocs, but I don't have anything against them. But I know a good friend of mine, she loves them. They're probably her favorite shoe. My friend, her name is Steph.
Hello. I'm here to defend the Crocs. Not only did it get a little awkward, but it's okay, because I'll give my reasoning.
She loves Crocs.
Can I exit the studio?
You can leave now. Yes, you can. Oh no, I'm kidding. No, honestly, Julian, I was like you. I was like, I don't get these Crocs. They're ugly. They look like little Dutch shoes. You know what I mean?
The clogs.
And then this is the turning point for me. My mom was like, honey, I just got your nephews the Crocs, and I know that you think they're ugly, but just try them because they form to the foot, to the shape of your foot. I'm like, Mom, okay. So I tried them, went to the Croc store, and I saw all the different colors that you could choose. I got my first pair in hot pink. I'm like, oh, hot pink Crocs, here I come. And then you can add gibbets to them.
What?
To personalize. Do you know the gibbets on the Crocs? Where it's like
that
little...
That word makes me feel uncomfortable.
Gibbets?
Gibbet?
That's the decorations on them. Yeah, they're gibbets.
Yes, they're so cute. You can personalize them. I have like a little sushi one. I have a letter S on mine. And sometimes I've worn them so much that they've fallen off. So, but I love my Crocs. And I think over time, they grew on me.
Okay, is it comfortability for you first, or is it fashion?
It's comfortability first, and then I started to get into the fashion part of it. I even want the platform Crocs.
Oh my God.
Okay, now I'm going to have to step in here. I was all on your side before, but then you mentioned platform Crocs. I don't know that we could go there, Steph.
Darn it.
I support your fashion choices. Everyone's free to do fashion, even if it's hard for you to look at. Look away.
Thank you.
It's Mix 94.1.
Welcome to another episode of Mercedes in the Morning. And now, here's your host, Mercedes!
Good morning and welcome to the show. It is 6:02. It's Wednesday, July 16th. We are so happy that you are waking up with us. Maybe you're going to bed with us, whatever you're doing. Thank you guys so much for being here this morning. So, we were just talking about Labubus, and it reminded me of something that happened over the weekend, and I'm still so salty about this. Do you ever find like yourself becoming enemies with not a person, but an item? Like an item becomes your nemesis. Matt was out of town this weekend, so I decided I was going to take the girls out for dinner, and then they like going to those claw places where you can get like the plushies, and there's one we usually go to, and we'll walk out of there with tons of stuff. Like the machines are so great. Like they actually grab things. Like they're awesome. But I was like, let's go to a different place because I've heard that they have machines with Labubus in them.
Ooh,
and the girls are like, what? And so we're all excited. So we go, and everybody was so nice in there. We see the claw machines with the Labubus. It costs 5 tokens to play.
Ooh.
Usually it's just one. And I'm like, oh, but if you get one, it's going to be worth it. You know, let's give it a try. Oh my gosh. We were so upset. I could see tears forming in my daughter's eyes because these claws had the grip strength of a wet noodle. Like we were right on the box, and it clamped the box, and like immediately it just unclamped. It was like, it was so frustrating.
Oh, it was in a box. It wasn't like the actual stuffed animal.
That makes it even tougher.
There's some that are in the packaging, you know, the Mylar packaging. And then there's some that are actually in the box. And we tried both, five tokens a shot. It was like they were greased or something. There was no grip strength on there. Mm. We walked out of there. We ended up giving up on those machines and went just to the regular ones. We walked out of there with two sad little plushies that weren't even the ones we wanted. They were like, you know, 2 inches long. I was so annoyed. Those claw machines are officially my nemesis. Claw machines go on the list of people to get revenge on, even though it's not a person.
Oh my
God. I'm so over it.
Honestly, that was me yesterday, Mercedes. I had a dentist appointment and it was my annual exam. And every time I go into the dentist, I get nervous, and it's not from like the pain or just like worried about the drilling or when they like poke your gums. It's from that little thing that sucks up your saliva. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I hate that thing. And it's because back in the day, I think a couple years ago when I had to get a filling, the hygienist had the little sucker thing on my cheek. And she turned away, I mean, for like half a second. And when she did, that little sucker, it sucked up my cheek. And I was like, ooh. And she goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And then after that, every single time I go to the dentist, that little sucker thing is my arch nemesis.
Initially, I was going to say, when you get a cleaning, that's like the best part, the actual sucking part. Well, that sounded bad. But anyway, that process, if you will, I would think that's the best part. But being the fact that that happened to you when you were younger.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Oh, wasn't even younger. It was a couple years ago. So it's still fresh in my memory. And that's why that little sucker thing it haunts me.
It's totally normal to have a nemesis that is not alive, that is an actual item. I think with those sucker things, sometimes they get you so good that you feel like you're about to be sucked into it. Like, oh, your whole body's going to like fall into it. You know what I mean?
My whole soul goes in there.
Seriously, I'm with you. The one thing I can't stand at the dentist's office is the one that goes
that the drill.
Thing. Oh, yes. Man, I don't know what it is. I close my eyes. I have no idea what it is that they're using. I'm just like, oh, and then the toothpaste they use sucks.
Oh, at
it's
the
so
end,
gritty.
When they're like at the end, when they cover everything, and it's like, and then what she says at the, I remember yesterday, she goes, is all the grit out? Lick your whole mouth. And I'm licking. I'm like, oh, this feeling. It's just so uncomfortable.
I know. That's why the nicest people in the world, I think, are dental hygienists, because they have to overcompensate for the bad experience you're having. I've never met a mean dental hygienist. They're all so kind.
And they talk so calmly,
yes,
too. They're like, move your tongue to the left. I'm like, yes, Roberta.
Yes, Roberta. All right. Well, we've got a lot coming up on the show this morning. Make sure you keep it here, because at 7 o'clock with Beat Mercedes, we're up to a $600 diamond pendant from Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers. We would love to get that to you. Just guess the artist and the song Faster Than I Can, and it is yours at 7:30. Tickets for the advanced screening of the Fantastic Four movie. And coming up next, the 2025 Emmy nominations are out, and one show practically ran the table. But another surprise contender came in hot with a comedy about Hollywood that may just clean up. I'll break it all down coming up next in What's Trending.
Are you guys ready?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
Mercedes in the Morning's What's Trending. What's Trending on Mix 94.1.
The 2025 Emmy nominations are out, and Severance said, we'll be taking everything. Thank you. Goodbye. They got 27 nominations.
Wow.
Adam Scott, he's up for lead actor again. Britt Lower scored a nomination too. I hope they both smile just once this season. Like, they
it's gonna
not
be hard.
Smile. I love that show, though. It's such a good one. The Penguin swooped in with 24 nominations. Colin Farrell in that, and he got a nod. Kristen Meloti as his love interest got a nod. The Stuo, though, was the surprise comedy front runner this year with 23 nominations. Seth Rogen he's everywhere. He wrote it, he directed it, he starred in it. He got nominations for all three of those categories. He probably parked the cars. He probably worked in craft services. He was everywhere on that one. Did you happen to see the studio?
I have not. Steph, yes?
No, you talked about it though, Mercedes.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I
it is
need
so,
to watch that
so
show.
Funny. I would laugh out loud at some of the stuff that they were doing and saying. It was so funny. And what's crazy is a lot of the celebrities that made cameos also got nominations for Emmys. Martin Scorsese, this is the first time he's ever received an Emmy nomination for acting.
No way.
Yeah, he was in it. Ron Howard, Zoe Kravitz,
yes,
they all got nominated for their appearances in that show.
So nice. He really makes them shine. You know, he like just like you said, Martin Scorsese never acted.
Well, it's I think it's easy to act like yourself, you know? He wasn't playing like a regular guy, like a character. He was playing Martin Scorsese.
Gotcha.
That's really cool.
Yeah, but yeah. So other shows that got nominated, The White Lotus, that one, oh man, it stayed booked and blessed. 23 nods on that one. Mike White has somehow convinced Hollywood to give him a luxury vacation budget every summer, don't you think?
I loved that show. I really liked season one. Season two was okay. Season three was good. I don't know if it adds up to season one, but just thinking about like how it ends, because if you know the show, there's always someone that dies in the show.
Yeah.
And we try to figure out who it is. The season three surprised me.
It was, I thought it was good. I walked away feeling like I was still a little hungry for more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they left too many things open. I wanted to see a little bit of a follow-up. I wish they did like Love Island, where they did Beyond the Villa. when it's over, they do a new season beyond The White Lotus. What happened when they got home?
Instead of After Sun, After Lotus.
Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about a couple of the actors, actresses. Best actor drama. We mentioned Adam Scott in Severance. Sterling K. Brown for Paradise. He got a nomination. Gary Oldman for Slow Horses. Pedro Pascal for The Last of Us. And Noah Wyle for The Pitt. And then for best actress in a drama series, Kathy Bates. Mm-hmm. She got a nomination. And she is now officially the oldest woman to get a nomination for that category. So Matlock was the show on that. Sharon Horgan for Bad Sisters, Britt Lower Severance, Bella Ramsey, The Last of Us, and Kerry Russell for The Diplomat. So many different categories. Can't go through all of them, but were there any standouts for either one of you?
I was going to ask you, no standouts because I haven't seen them, but for someone that you both are very avid on these shows, for let's just say what call it what you will, for a newbie, what show would you suggest someone like myself to get into right from the jump that doesn't, you know what I mean? You don't have to watch like a couple episodes in to really get it. It just starts right from the beginning. What would you suggest?
Oh, geez. Of these shows?
Yes.
Studio,
White Lotus, Severance.
I'd say The Studio is good, Mindless. It's the first season of it. I would not say White Lotus. I feel like you should go back and watch the previous seasons of that just to get an idea. And the show, definitely not Severance. You'll be completely confused. You will not know what's going on.
I would say Paradise. Don't you think that
Paradise
was a pretty good one?
Paradise was fabulous.
Sterling K. Brown did a fantastic job, but it's one of those shows that you do need some time to really just sit down and watch every second.
So. Yeah, really? that is a really good one. The Emmys, they air live September 14th on CBS and stream on Paramount Plus. Nate Bargatze is hosting, and that is what's trending. Mix 94.1. It's Mercedes in the morning. Do you guys have nicknames? Like, have you earned a nickname, or are you guys the type of people to give nicknames to people? Because my husband is a nickname guy. If he likes you, he will give you a nickname. That is the first indication that he thinks you're cool. And he was out of town this weekend. He went to Sonoma for the NASCAR race. He's a photographer. So he was up there. And there's this guy that he sees every time he goes there. His real name is Nolan. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Nolan is, he is like a driver for the photographers. So the Sonoma racetrack is not just an oval. It's like a road course. So it goes all over the place. So the photographers, when they have to go from one place to another, they can't just like bolt over there. They need someone in a cart to take them. So Nolan drives a cart, and they become friends over the years. And this past weekend, Matt officially crossed that invisible line into friend territory when he gave Nolan a nickname. And you know what the nickname is?
Share.
Beef.
Say that again?
Beef.
Beef. Oh, I thought he was hungry. Okay. That's the name.
Beef. Wow. B-E-E-F. And that's just it. He just Beef. And when he told me, he's like, yeah, and then I was talking to Beef. I'm like, who? What? What's Beef? And he's like, oh, Nolan, I nicknamed him Beef. I'm like, why'd you nickname him Beef? And he's like, it's a compliment. He's a big, muscular guy. And I'm like, are you sure he took that as a compliment? Like, maybe it is a compliment. If you're a guy and someone started calling you Beef, would it be a compliment to you? But it made me think, like, do you have a nickname that you were given that just stuck? Or how did you get it? Or how have you ever given one to someone that they actually started using? Was it sweet? Was it savage? Was it random? 702-364-9400.
So let me share with you. I got to meet Matt someday because I totally understand when it's a stamp of approval. When you give someone a nickname in your tribe, it's a stamp of approval. Just like you said, hey, you're cool. So we call each other, and I don't know how y'all are going to react to this, but baby boy. So, for example, if I see someone I haven't seen in a while or a friend, what's up, baby boy? And then they say back, what's going on, baby boy?
Baby boy?
Yeah, I know. And it comes from nothing. I don't know why. It's been going on for years. It's like I start saying it when I start feeling comfortable with someone. And I mean, I don't say like, hey, you're my baby boy. It's not like that.
Hey, baby.
No. It's not like that. No. I can't explain it. When you become comfortable with someone, I just start calling them. It's no longer, is it, you said Noel? No?
Nolan?
Yeah, Nolan. It becomes baby boy.
Oh my gosh. I think if I ever heard Matt call one of his guy friends baby boy, I would definitely do a double take. But I think that's just how he is. You could be completely different. That could be like within your friend group. So like it might fit with your friend group, you know?
And it's a stamp of approval saying, hey, I know you're cool. Because obviously, if they were not cool with it, they probably, you know, hit me.
Do they call you baby boy too?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Wow. So if a friend comes in to visit the station, don't be shocked if you hear baby boy, what's going on?
Do you guys take naps together or just share snacks?
Stop it. Stop it. Too much.
Do you think beef is offensive though? Like, if
I don't know. Just when he initially said it, I was like, beef.
Well, I mean, if he's aware of it, I mean, obviously, right? He's got to be okay with it.
I like the nickname
you
Beef.
Do?
I think it's really cool. I like Matt's thinking on what people or what he nicknames people because Beef, and now if I ever meet this Nolan guy, I'm just going to think of Beef. Jerky.
Do you remember, we probably have the audio, but like the guy, Sam Elliott,
yes,
talking about beef.
Yes.
And that's all I could hear was Sam Elliott going, beef. Like in his voice. This one right here.
Beef stroganoff, beef bourguignon, Irish beef stew, beef brisket, Chateaubriand, sauerbraten, roast beef.
Beef, Catalan. Baby boy.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
The Hot 3 is powered by Best Mattress. Just like David says, sleep easy, friends.
Here's a headline that won't exactly knock you out of your chair. Americans are seriously stressed about money. Mm-hmm. Wow, shocker. A new survey from Northwestern Mutual says nearly 70% of people are feeling anxious or depressed because of financial uncertainty, which is up 8% from last year, which honestly, I feel like it tracks. I mean, inflation is up.
Absolutely.
Feel like that makes a lot of sense. And get this, 4 in 10 Americans say that worrying about money has actually made them feel physically sick, like literally ill. Gen Z and millennials, over half say financial stress is messing with their bodies. So like if your stomach hurts every day, every time you check your bank app, maybe you're not alone. Financial experts suggest opening an emergency savings account with enough to cover 6 months of expenses, which is cute, right? Okay, I'll just go print some money and just start that account right away.
Yeah, that's extremely difficult. I read somewhere this stat is pretty consistent that nearly, and this makes me low-key's really sad, nearly 70% of people of Americans in the country have less than $1,000 in savings. So if we're going to take that number, I mean, who can save? You said 6 months, right? 6 months as far as like long, right? Right. That, who can do that?
Yeah.
Extremely difficult.
Absolutely. Also this morning, this one made me raise an eyebrow a little bit. A new study out of Columbia found that some people actually prefer a mean boss. Yes, the kind that yells and throws tantrums and leads by fear. Apparently, some people are really into that. It all depends on how you see the world, I guess. But if you believe most people are genuinely caring and collaborative, then yeah, maybe you think an aggressive manager is you know, just a bully who didn't learn how to lead. I don't know. But if you had the choice between a nice boss or a mean boss, which would you prefer?
Well, when you say mean boss, do you really mean someone that actually like belittles you and screams at you? Because sometimes people take mean, quote unquote, mean bosses differently. Like someone that's very blunt and transparent, some people might take that as mean.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. I think that in this one, they found that people in the a group that had a caring boss, they see aggressive leadership as ineffective and that a sign that you don't know how to manage people. So yeah, I think that's it. I personally feel like it's going to be subjective. What I might think is a mean boss, you might think is just a, you know, an aggressive boss or something like that.
Yeah, I think someone that's transparent and as honest as they can be and is as authentic as they can be, I think that's the ideal boss. Some people might think that's mean. I definitely don't advocate anyone that's, you know, yelling at you and using volume, you know what I mean, to get their point across. Definitely
yeah,
not.
Yeah, that's I guess the takeaway is whether you're a, you know, hug it out kind of manager or you're just like a screaming, yelling manager. Someone out there thinks you're doing it right. Not me, but someone does.
Right.
Finally, this morning, As if I wasn't already knee deep in LaBooBoo's, Mattel, they just dropped a 30th anniversary Clueless Barbie line. I can't save money because of all these collectibles. There's no way I'm going to save money. If. Cher and Dion are now Barbie dolls in their signature plaid outfits. And if that's not enough, now you can also get them as collectible American Girl doll outfits. Yes, American Girl. Now we're mixing eras. I don't know how I feel about this, but the fun doesn't stop there. There's a Clueless Polly Pocket set, which is a little people version of the whole squad, and even an Uno deck with an Ugh as if wild card that shuts your opponent down completely. So if just watching Clueless again is not cutting it, you can now fully immerse yourself in the 90s lifestyle. They're celebrating their 30th anniversary. I cannot believe. I remember going to see that movie with my friends.
Me too. Such a classic. Are you going to get this just for nostalgic purposes?
Probably. Yeah, and then when you ask me if I have 6 months saved up in savings, I can say nope, absolutely not.
It's time for Beat Mercedes. Can you guess the song faster than she can? Let's go.
Dana is caller 20. Hey, Dana.
Yeah.
Hi.
How are you this morning?
Good. Kind of nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous. Take a deep breath. You got this. What are you up to?
I am driving to work right now.
Okay, so pull over just so you can concentrate. We don't want to promote driving and talking on the phone, although if it's hands-free, I guess that's okay.
True.
But we just want to get you the $600 diamond pendant from Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers. All you got to do is guess the song and the artist faster than I can. Have you played before? Have you done pretty well just listening on your radio?
I have, yeah.
Okay, good. Ooh, I'm excited. Okay. Let's do this, Dana. I want you to be a winner, so I'm going to leave the studio now, and we're going to leave you to it. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Good luck.
Bye, Mercedes. Peace. She's leaving the studio. Dana, this is how Beat Mercedes works. You're going to hear the first 20 seconds of a song. Once you know the correct artist and title, you're going to shout out, "Got it." Once you say "got it," we stop the clock, we stop the song, and you got to give us something within 5 seconds, okay?
Got it.
All right. The next sound that you hear is the song, and that song starts now.
I know who sings it.
Come on. 10 seconds.
Party Rock. Got it.
Go ahead. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
What you got?
It's Party Rock and it's LMAFO.
Say that one more time nice and clear.
It's Party Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's LMAFO.
LMAFO.
I think.
Okay. That's, we're bringing Mercedes in, okay?
Dana,
you're on your way to work. You said you're an office manager for a school. What are you guys doing during summer?
We are just getting ready for the upcoming school year.
Nice. Well, hopefully you're not too busy. Mercedes, you're back?
Yes. Hello. I'm back.
Let's do this.
Okay.
The next sound that you hear is the song, and that song starts now.
Oh, got it.
Go ahead.
Party Rock Anthem, LMFAO.
Gotcha. Final answer, right?
Yes.
Okay. You stop the clock fast. 2.5.
Okay.
Okay. And you are correct. Okay. Party Rock Anthem by LMFAO. Now, Dana, she thought it was just Party Rock, and she said LMAFO.
That literally is making me LMAFO. That's adorable, Dana. Oh, you were close, but unfortunately not close enough. Good try, though. That was really good. I mean, it's some of these titles, they'll throw you off. And I mean, come on, LMFAO, tell me you have not screwed that up at one point or another in your life.
Right.
So you, great job, Dana. That means our pendant has gotten increased in value, $625. Tomorrow morning, Beat Mercedes, 7 o'clock. It's Mix 94.1. Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the morning, and it is time. Ladies and gentlemen, let's do this. It's the game where the questions are random. The host is moderately prepared, correct?
Yeah, I would say that's pretty accurate.
It's time for Jaywalking with Julian. Yeah. We have unleashed our brand new co-host onto the streets of Las Vegas to meet the people, ask the questions, and maybe learn a thing or two about this city that we call home. Will he charm the locals? Will he get weird answers? Will he get sunburned? We will find out with Jaywalking with Julian.
All right. The question I went around town asking people is, you know, as a new local, just give me one bit of advice. Somewhere I need to experience, somewhere I need to go. And yeah, let's get into it. First one is Jessica. Let's go.
Lake Las Vegas is a lot of fun. There's a bunch of like cool new spots out there that I myself have not tried yet. During the summer, you can do paddle boarding, you do kayaking and stuff out there. So if you like to do stuff outdoors, they're the place to be.
Do they allow, can I wear my Speedo?
You might have to talk to them about that.
Yeah, the answer is no. Unless you are an Olympic swimmer, no Speedos allowed.
So tell me about this. Has anyone been?
I have not.
Me
no,
neither. No.
Okay. Because it looks very beautiful.
I know. I've heard a lot of great things, though. Like, especially I see scrolling on Instagram, like, oh, you guys got to go check. Especially during the summer, too, I believe.
Well, I've been to Lake Las Vegas. I've never been paddleboarding out there.
Right.
Yeah, just to clarify. Yes, it's gorgeous out there. There's fun little restaurants. There's, like, a little shopping promenade. Like, it is. It's like you're in a different. I don't feel like you're in Las Vegas when you're there.
World.
It's just completely different.
And they have incredible boating there as well, from what I hear. So I think the, I mean, all we really need to do is borrow someone's boat. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So anyone have an idea? Anyone's boat we can borrow?
Not really.
No, sorry.
I've got nothing there. Okay. So, okay. Who's person number two here?
I'm going to go Michelle. Michelle.
My advice would be to not get sucked into the lifestyle of Las Vegas. That is for tourists. It's not supposed to be a daily thing. A lot of people here have gone down south because of that. We accept everybody, everything, every which way. Just make sure you put your health first and keep your mind on. Don't do the hair of the dog.
Oh, man. I think that is excellent advice right there. I mean, so many times people come here and it's all so new and glamorous and glitzy. And, you know, you go see all the casinos and then you start the gambling and it can go one of two ways, you know.
Sure.
It could be really brutal.
Okay, now to clarify, this might be the dumb question, but what does she mean at the end, don't do the hair of the dog? I've never heard that term before.
You've never heard that term?
Absolutely not.
Hair of the dog is when you are hungover and the next day, instead of just kind of drinking Gatorade and stuff, you start drinking again. That's the hair of the dog.
Thank you.
That's where you like just stay drunk.
Yeah.
So you're not hungover.
I never got the hair of the dog because my mom would say, just do hair of the dog, you know, do a little drink after to get the hangover away. I'm like, that doesn't seem fun. That sounds like my hangover is going to get worse.
Well, the beautiful thing is I don't drink. So there's going to be no hairing of the dog. So we're good.
Yeah. So that's some advice that you don't need to bother with. However, if you have family or friends that come in, just make sure you tell them the same thing.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Julian's jaywalking. Who is the third person and what did you ask?
Okay. We're going to go Abraham. One place I need to experience. Here we go.
You got to party at Fremont Street. Fremont is where the party's at.
I've been there.
That's the truth.
We All Scream?
We All Scream's good. I'm going to give it to Odd Fellas, bro. Okay. Odd Fellas is nice, but sometimes there'd be a lot of Odd Fellas in there.
I've never been to Odd Fellas we got to go check that out. It sounds like we're missing out here.
Oh, Mercedes, there's a bunch of Odd Fellas there. So are you sure about that? Yeah, shout out to that dude. He was so funny.
What do you guys think? 702-364-9400, the place you need to experience if you are in Las Vegas. Okay, last one. Who do we have?
Actually, that's what we have. Oh, do we have one more?
Yeah,
oh,
we have your extra that you wanted to put in.
Oh, yeah, extra. Same guy, but he wanted to add one more place, a place to go eat.
Okay.
As a local, number one quesadilla in the valley, Los Tacos on Sahara. That's where it's at. Check that out.
Shout out to Abraham. Thank you, Abraham.
Yes, sir. I got you, bro.
All right. I got to ask, because my go-to with anything local is born and raised Las Vegas bread, Ramon. And Ramon, do you know anything about that? The quesadilla? What do you know?
The quesadilla from Los Tacos?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I've been to Los Tacos, never had their quesadilla. I go to Los Tacos for, guess what? The tacos.
Oh,
no
Los
way.
Tacos. Is that the best taco in Las Vegas?
Ooh, I like tacos al gordo. I know that's kind of very big and very touristy, but they're really good.
You know, I haven't been there yet. I was going to go there over the weekend. Does it matter, Ramon, which location?
No, you should be fine. I wouldn't go the one on the Strip. I'll go to the one on Charleston,
I believe. Charleston, yeah.
Yes, go to that one.
Okay, now, are the prices the same at all the locations, or you don't know?
I think they're the same.
That matter what?
I think they're the same, but I could be wrong.
No, Mercedes, because like I heard that everything on the Strip is increased like 20%.
Yeah, it is more expensive, but I don't know about the prices there.
Turn to Julian.
Julian always asking about the money aspect of it, you know, the penny pincher over here. We love it. Hey, you got to save everywhere you can. I'm with you, man. All right, it's Mix 94.1. Are
you ready? It's time for Mercedes in the Morning's Mega Minute.
Mary, good morning. You are caller 20.
Good morning. Thank you.
How are you feeling this morning?
Fabulous. I was driving to work and I pulled over into a Sonic parking lot.
Yes. So here's what you do. You win and then you go get yourself a cherry limeade to celebrate. Okay.
Right. You got it.
All right. So you get 60 seconds to answer 10 questions correctly. When you do, you're going to get 4 reserve seats to the advanced screening of the Fantastic Four at AMC Town Square IMAX. Are you ready to do this, Mary?
Awesome. Yes, let's do it.
Mary, if you're struggling with the question, you can say pass. Or if you get one wrong, if there's time at the end, we'll go back to those questions. And the Mega Minute, it starts now.
Sarah Michelle Gellar is married to which actor?
Ryan Gosling?
No. How many seasons are there in a year?
4.
Yes, John Smith is a Disney character from which movie?
Pocahontas?
Yes, in what country would you find the Nile River?
Africa.
No, what is the measure of a right angle in degrees?
90.
Yes, what 2004's movie plot revolves around the theft of the Declaration of Independence?
Pass.
In what city is the Kentucky Derby held?
Daytona?
No. In Scotland, what loud musical instrument is played at funerals and ceremonies?
Oh my gosh. The bagpipe?
Yes. What is traditionally thrown into the air at graduation ceremonies?
Confetti.
No.
Balloons.
No. What bank's tagline is, what's in your wallet?
Capital One.
Yes, that is correct, and I will give you that. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough, Mary. Oh, I'm sorry. We started off tough, and I would have answered the same thing because I get my 90s teen heartthrobs mixed up, but Sarah Michelle Gellar, she's married to Freddie Prinze Jr. That's who she's married to. Then in what country would you find the Nile River? You got the right continent, but not the right country. It's Egypt. What 2004's movie plot revolves around the theft of the Declaration of Independence? That's the movie National Treasure. The city in which the Kentucky Derby is held is Louisville. And what is traditionally thrown into the air at graduation ceremonies? I suppose maybe confetti is, but it's caps. You know, the graduates' caps are thrown into the air. So, unfortunately, not a winner, but you should still go get that cherry limeade, Mary. I'm just telling you, it'll make you feel better, you know? That means caller 20 right now. You get these passes for reserve seats to the advanced screening of the Fantastic Four First Steps. Caller 20, you get them right now at 702-364-9400.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
The Hot 3 is powered by Best Mattress. Just like David says, sleep easy, friends.
All right. Well, if you are having a good day today, then chalk it up to one of your 252 that you get a year. Apparently, the average American gets 252 good days a year, which comes out to about 69% of them being pretty great. The most good days belong to the state of Florida, where people claim 276 good days a year, but Kentucky, not so much. They only get about 228, those poor souls. So what makes a good day? Turns out it's things like having a positive outlook, laughing at someone, just at life's weirdness, hanging out with family, working out, and eating your veggies constitutes having a good day.
I don't know about the veggies, but
yeah,
I like that number. I think that's a good, solid number because I think we need to give ourselves more, that's what I'm looking for, maybe grace. Because I notice sometimes if, I know me personally, if I'm having a bad day, it'll become amplified, right? I'll harp on it. But really, at the end of the day, I mean, we're having more good days and bad days. What's there to complain about?
Yeah, that's definitely, you want the majority. Nevada, we're not that high, but we're still above average with 10 other states. So we're doing pretty good here. We're having some good days. So that's some good news this morning. Also this morning, have you guys heard the urban legend that Stevie Wonder is not blind? That he's done several things in public that indicate that he can actually see. Have you guys heard that before?
I may have heard a rumor in the past, but I would love to hear more about this.
Well, he has cleared it up. He wanted to shut down those rumors that he's not really blind, and he did that during his Love, Light, and Song tour. And he said that he became blind shortly after birth and that it shaped his perspective on life, seeing people for who they are, not just for how they look. You know, while the internet loves to create these wild rumors, his response is just, you know, a good reminder that sight isn't just about what you see with your eyes. You know, it's about how you kind of see the world. And he says, you know, the truth is, shortly before or after my birth, I became blind. So he wants to set the record straight because I guess I guess it's something that he hears every single day.
Really is a crazy story. I do remember hearing that when I was younger. And can you just imagine if it was true, which we know it isn't, that would be the biggest hustle ever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he has gained by if he was pretending that he was blind. I don't know if that there was anything there that was gained, but I think he would have been successful no matter what. I mean, have you heard the guy's voice? It's just, it's like honey. It's perfect.
That
you know?
Is a great point.
I just feel bad that he had to come and set the record straight. All right, finally this morning, this is kind of weird. Have you guys, you know, those Annabelle horror movies? Have you seen the about the doll, the weird doll?
Little bit. Tell me more.
Do you know, Steph?
I do. I've heard a lot and I've seen the dolls. They look, well, the ones that they make in the movie are really scary, but I think the one that you're referring to, it doesn't look that scary to me.
Okay. Well, there's this Annabelle doll. The real Annabelle isn't really like a creepy porcelain looking doll like the movies, like you said. It's a Raggedy Ann,
yeah.
Basically. A supposedly haunted Raggedy Ann, because I guess the Annabelle movies are based on an alleged true story, okay? So this supposed haunted Raggedy Ann may have actually killed a guy. So this Annabelle doll has been on a tour. And it included a 3-day stop in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And after day 3 on Sunday, a 54-year-old guy named Dan Rivera died unexpectedly. He was the paranormal investigator who was accompanying Annabelle on her tour. Now, she's owned by the New England Society for Psychic Research, and they paid tribute to Dan on Monday. And they are not blaming the doll for its death, but some online are already speculating about this one.
Yeah, I would say that's timely. But you're talking to the guy that I don't believe in any urban legends and myths and things like that. That's just a timely. I mean, how many situations have been timely? And then you chalk it up to, you know, something along these lines, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying that the doll did it, but sometimes things are too coincidental. And if you asked me if I would go hang out with this Annabelle doll, the first answer out of my mouth would be absolutely not. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't like paranormal things. This scares the crap out of me. I believe in that stuff. I believe there are spirits and haunted things and that ghosts can get attached to you. And like that stuff, it frightens me more than any like Freddy Krueger kind of movie. Like that stuff really bothers me.
Okay, so for me, I have to actually see it. You believe it, and I appreciate that. I actually have to see it. It has to actually happen. Like it has to be blatantly happening in front of me or to me. God forbid that doesn't happen. Yeah, I'm just built like that.
What do you need to see to believe?
Yeah, for example, I need to see, something's haunted. I need to see that object moving in front of me. Do you know what I mean? I need to see the actual ghost. I need to see it. It needs to be black and white to me.
Okay, so I'll tell you. So when I was working for the TV station, I did a story on Fox Ridge Park, which is here in Las Vegas, and it's haunted. That's the urban legend. So we went out there one night with a couple of ghost hunters, and I brought out my friend Mystic Mona. She's a tarot card reader. And we said, are you guys getting anything? So the ghost hunters have their little contraptions, and they're holding them. And it's, I forget what they said, but it was like, play slave, or like, it was weird. And then another one said like, friend to someone in the group, which was really weird. And I was like, okay, this is getting odd. Me and the cameraman, we were like, we were starting to get uncomfortable because I did not want to do this story, but I kind of was told I had to do the story. So then we do the tarot card reading and she's trying to figure out, she's like asking, hey, is there anyone here? Is anything picking up? And she's like flipping the cards and she's like, yeah, it looks like there's a young spirit here. And the rumor is it's a little boy that's haunting the park. And then out of nowhere, and we literally have it on camera. And you can look up the story on YouTube, the video on YouTube. One of the tarot cards just up and flips over on its own.
You saw it
right in front of my face.
No wind was that night,
there was
night, right?
No wind. Uh-huh. And she and I both look at each other, and you can see me because I totally went off script and I looked at the cameraman and I go, did you just see that? Did you just see that? Because I started freaking out. My heart was beating fast. And he's nodding at me like, oh my gosh. And she goes, yeah, that, wow. Because there was no wind. It just flipped. And it was the scariest thing I ever experienced. Afterwards, me and the camera guy were like, please go stay here. Don't follow us. Like, I was saying Hail Marys and Our Fathers to get out of there. It was so freaky. Oh,
two questions. Was it windy?
No.
What time was it?
It was at night. It was in the middle. Like, I'd say 9:30 at night. 10.
Okay, because sometimes the time, you know, you guys are visiting, I think that can kind of play into the whole situation. Yeah, okay. Look,
the time will dictate whether a tarot card flips over?
No. I think, well, I wasn't there, but I think sometimes, you know, if you were to go to, if you were to go maybe like at 12 midnight, sometimes the time kind of plays into what you see or what you don't see. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay, well.
I'll tell you now, Julian, my dad has been a tarot card reader for almost 15 years. Mm-hmm. And when those cards come out, it's for a purpose and it's not intentionally from him. It's from spirits. And I totally believe you, Mercedes.
Did you see the video?
Yes, I saw the video. Your video went viral. Julian, watch the video
okay,
after
I'm
this.
I'm not saying I don't believe you.
Out your advice, hopefully.
I'll check it out for sure. Okay.
Now I'm scared that ghost's going to find me again. Next 94.1, it's Mercedes in the morning. Apparently, we are all walking around silently panicking about whether we are being rude or not because Google just released this, the top is it rude questions that people are searching. And it's unhinged, but it is completely relatable. One of the questions on here, what do you guys think? Is it rude to refuse a gift? If someone gives you a gift, is it rude to refuse it?
I would say yes.
Why?
Well, because it's offered to you. Someone had you in mind for the gift. And yeah, it's rude. Absolutely.
I've refused a gift before.
Oh, you're so rude.
I'm kidding. I guess I am. It was a dog. Someone gave me a dog.
Okay.
I couldn't accept the dog. I was like, I am so sorry. I'm so grateful. I can't. Initially, I did accept it. And my dad just was like, absolutely not. Take this thing back. We cannot take care of a dog.
I think it's rude that the person was trying to gift you a dog without consulting you and
your family.
It was
our neighbors. Yeah. Yeah, it was weird.
It depends what it is. Let me add it.
Okay.
It depends what it is. Because that's different.
Is it rude to wear sunglasses indoors?
I would say it depends on the situation. It seems like here in Vegas at clubs, everyone's doing it. So I think it's weird. I don't know if rude would be the word, but yeah. Yeah, we'll go with that for this conversation. We'll go rude. Yeah.
I think it just depends on the person. If that's like your aesthetic, or we were just talking about Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder, you're good. You pass. You can wear your sunglasses.
He's
indoors.
An exception to the rule. Yes.
Steph, is it rude to go to a restaurant 1 hour before closing?
Oh, 1 hour before closing? No. 1 hour, I think, is justified. If it's a little bit like 30 minutes closer to closing, yes, I think it is rude.
Okay. Ramon, is it rude to stare at someone?
Yes.
You never stare at anyone?
I mean, I'm staring at you guys right now. you guys are pretty to look at, though.
What, is there something that you do that you want some clarification? Like, is this rude? I do this. I'm not trying to be rude, but is it rude? 702-364-9400.
I feel like you'd be great at this. This happened yesterday. I'm not going to name the person's name. It happened here at the radio station. And I realize that when I lose interest, and I start to lose attention in the conversation. So I'm having a conversation with someone here at the station, and it's going on for a long time, okay? And towards the end, I start being very quick. I just start saying, yep, got it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I start kind of, and I'm not even aware of it. I'm not trying to be rude, but I start kind of rushing it. I start trying to close out the conversation based off the wording. Or the one word short responses I give. Is that rude?
Yes, I think that's rude. I mean, I'm just saying that as someone who has been known to do that before. I think like when I catch myself doing that, I'm like, okay, I'm being rude. I got to pay attention. So yeah, I mean, I totally relate because I do the same thing, or I used to do the same thing, but now I try to be like really invested in what people are saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So in a situation like that, what do you do to kind of close it out? Because I mean, it could be literally a 90 minute conversation.
I go, oh, hold on, I got to take this. And then I walk out the door
with your phone
and do a fake phone call.
I've never thought about that.
Sometimes I'll look at Mercedes and I'll know her cues where like someone's talking for her too long. And I'll just be like, hey, I have a question for you. Can I grab you real quick?
Steph is the best. I mean, she will run interference for you. She is the best. I'll give her a look like,
help me.
And it's almost like the Gen Z stare that I give you, just like that blank look. And then all of a sudden, Steph is like, hey, Mercedes, I need you to record something for me. Can you come back? And I'll be like, yeah, sorry, Steph. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know, Steph.
Always pulling me away.
She's always asking me to do something. So you're
playing the bad guy.
I usually won't play. I don't say bad guy.
Well, not the
guy.
Bad guy, but you're playing the interference.
I feel like I read the room well. Like, another thing. Yesterday, we were in a meeting, and, you know, someone came in, and they were talking, and they were going on a tangent. What I do is I actually change body language. And I will, like, let's say I'm in one part of the room. I will walk to another part of the room to pretend like, oh, I forgot to do something, so that they can understand like, oh, she's in work mode, she has to change. So psychologically they're like, oh, I know you're busy, I'll come back later.
Ladies, I'm seeing y'all in a whole different light right now. I would call this orchestrated scheme.
We have a secret language that we can use. I can literally tell her something right now just by my facial expression, like,
she's annoyed. She's annoyed. I saw that. She's annoyed.
So, Sonia, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, we're talking about things that might be considered rude. What is your question?
So, like, if two people are walking or in the store or whatever, and I see somebody that looks good, I'm the person that'll be like, oh, I love your outfit, or I think your body looks amazing. But then if that other person doesn't fit it, I'm just kind of like, hi. How are you?
Oh, so you don't compliment the other person, only the one that actually caught your eye.
Yeah, but I acknowledge them. I just don't compliment them because this person caught my eye.
Yeah, but you not acknowledging them is acknowledging them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm like, how are you? But hey, your body is amazing. Like, other person, like.
You know, I get it though, Sonia. Let's say, you know, Julian and Steph, you walk into the room and then I'm like, oh, Julian, I like your shoes. Oh, but I don't say anything to Steph. I'm not trying to like insult you. I like his shoes, you know?
Yeah, and I wouldn't get offended because I'm like, honestly, I'm wearing my beaters today anyway, so it's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably depends on the person. You know what I mean? Depends on the person. Because I can see some people thinking, oh, Mercedes didn't compliment my shoes. Ew.
I don't like them.
Yeah.
What is your personal is it rude dilemma? 702-364-9400. And also, we're getting some texts saying, I mentioned the Gen Z stare. What in the heck is a Gen Z stare? Okay, maybe we have some explaining to do. If you don't know what the Gen Z stare is, yeah, it's definitely trending right now. And we can explain that and take your call. 702-364-9400. It's Mix 94.1. Mix 94.1. It's Mercedes in the morning. We were talking about how Google just released the top Is It Rude questions and things that you've been doing that some people may consider rude. What is it that you do that you think people are taking the wrong way? 702-364-9400. And we mentioned this TikTok phenomenon that's going viral right now called the Gen Z stare. And someone texted us asking, what is the Gen Z stare? And I think this is funny. As a mom of two Gen Zers, I know this stare well. And before you roll your eyes and say, oh, another TikTok thing, this one actually hits a nerve with a lot of people. The idea is, and see if you agree with this, just based on your daily interactions, that Gen Z is so bad at small talk that when you try to make a conversation with them in real life, they just stare. Like you'll say like, hey, how's it going? Instead of saying, hey, good, how about you? They'll just like blink a couple of times and just give you this deadpan eye contact and say absolutely nothing. And it's not even rude or aggressive. It's just blank. Like people say, it feels like you're being stared at by like that cat who's just judging your entire existence. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think it has something to do with the fact that they just don't know how to answer the question or just lack of, I don't know, communication skills? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's social anxiety, personally. Other people are saying, though, it's a power move on their part. I personally think it's more of a social anxiety, like, I don't speak unless it's absolutely necessary to do so. Or some people think it's them flexing like they're cooler than this conversation.
Really?
I notice, and maybe some of it has to do with COVID. A lot of these people went to school during COVID or didn't go to school during COVID and they were at home and they didn't have that social interaction. And you can sometimes tell the kids that needed it during COVID, you know? Have you experienced the Gen Z stare, or is there another like generational behavior that you've noticed that makes you feel like, oh my gosh, like, is this just this age group that does this or what? 702-364-9400.
I can tell you for sure that I'm not Gen Z, but I gave a Gen Z stare transparently at our promotions meeting last week. And I didn't even mean to do it, but you know, I'm new here. We're going to these meetings. There was no, you know, I mean, look, to be honest with you, you would think, hey, you might get some information, a little background on it. And you're going to the meeting and I'm just kind of like listening to what everyone's talking about. Everyone's in on it, right? Everyone's in on it. And tell me if I'm wrong, but I think, oh man, I was asked a question and I didn't know what to say. I just kind of gave like a Gen Z stare.
Yeah, it wasn't because you thought you were cooler than anyone there. It's because you were genuinely lost.
I was lost, right? I'm just trying to play catch up in my mind.
Yeah.
But everyone is already caught up.
That's just like jumping into the deep end of the pool and trying to wade your way out. And that takes time. So don't be too hard on yourself on something like that.
Cool. Thank you.
I think something that I noticed with Gen Z is they don't like to leave voicemails. I was telling my nephew, I was like, you know, call grandma and ask her. And if she doesn't pick up, just leave her a voicemail. And he goes, a voicemail?
No.
What? I don't even know if I've ever left a voicemail in my life. Meanwhile, there's my dad who has like a 2-minute voicemail. He goes, hey, honey, just want to catch up with how you're doing. It's just funny to see the different generations and how they communicate just even by phone.
Yeah, I've noticed that there's been a big like turnaround with FaceTime where I feel like Gen Z loves to FaceTime. And for me, I like to make sure like, hey, is my background presentable? Am I going to be able to hear you? Do I need AirPods for something like this? So a lot of times I'll decline my kids' FaceTime calls. They're like, why are you declining my calls? I'm like, because I'm not in a good spot right now, you know?
Oh my gosh, there's sometimes where my niece will call me and she will FaceTime me and then she's like in the weirdest angle and I can barely hear her. I'm like, can you call me back? I can barely hear you. Oh, sorry, Thea. Yeah, I'll call you back.
I feel like the FaceTime has to be preceded with a text like, hey, can you FaceTime? Yes. Like, give me a second to get ready for this. Just going in blind with a random, like, here's a FaceTime coming at you. I stress out when I see it. It's like, oh, what am I supposed to do with this?
Oh, the worst part is when they leave you FaceTime videos. You know that you can do that, right? When you're at the end, if no one answers, it'll give you a chance, like, do you want to leave a video? And it'll count it down. 3, 2, 1. Hey, Thea, it's me, Gabby. Just wanted to say hi. Well, she left me a video once, and I had no idea how to find it.
Oh, gosh.
I was like, you left me a video, but where is it in my phone? She goes, you have to go to these settings. I'm like, this is too much for me.
That's, too confusing. We're getting some texts here. This one says the Gen Z stare is more because people we interact with don't have common sense. So valid. I will give you that. This question is, if you guys are asking about what are rude things that people do, is it rude to text someone while they're talking to you, even if you swear you're listening?
Oh, that's great. And that is so rude. I've done that.
That's rude. I've done it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at least you can admit to being rude, you know?
No explanation needed. It's like, I've done it. I'm rude.
All right, guys. Time to win. Time to play Heads Up. And up for grabs, we have tickets. 4 of them to check out the Nevada Ballet Theater's production of The Nutcracker. It's Christmas in July, guys, and we are getting you ready for the holidays just a little bit early, but it's good to be prepared, right? Tickets right now when you win Heads Up. All you got to do is pick your category, get 6 answers in 60 seconds, and you are going to see the Nutcracker at the Smith Center in December. Caller 20, you're playing right now, 702-364-9400.
It's time for Heads Up with Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
All right, let's get our contestant, Destiny. Good morning, your caller 20.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are great. How are you feeling this morning?
Good. Just hanging out at home with the kiddos.
Oh, I love it. Well, let's get you 4 tickets to Nevada Ballet Theater's The Nutcracker coming up. It's Christmas in July around here. We just need you to pick a category for Heads Up. Do you want to go with Hey There, Oh Canada, or On Point? The dog said, oh, Canada. No, what did you say?
I'll do Hey There.
Hey There. All right. Barn Day was on Sunday. So these are all things that are associated with barns, okay?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
You got this. You got this, Destiny. I know we can do it. All we need is 6 answers in 60 seconds. You ready?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, guys, your 60 seconds for Heads Up. It starts now.
This is an animal that says moo.
Cow.
Yes. This is what you would drive to, like, plow the fields. You green.
A tractor?
Yes. This is what you put on a horse so your butt doesn't hurt.
Saddle.
Yes. This is, I think you hold one of these, like, to bale hay. You use, and it's got, like, 3 prongs on it. It's a...
A pitchfork?
Yes. Nice. Oh, my gosh. This is where the horses stay. You put them in a what?
Stable.
Yes. This is what, like, a farmer would wear as their usual, like, clothing.
Overall.
Yes. Wow. Destiny. Yeah. That was so easy. You were all worried and whatnot, and look at you just killing it. Congratulations.
Yay! When you said barns, I was like, I hope she doesn't talk about barn shapes, but it's farm animals. I got that.
Okay. No, you're totally good, and you got it. And now you are going to the Nutcracker. We have 4 reserve seats for you to check out the Nevada Ballet Theater's production of The Nutcracker. It is just a spectacle. It's so beautiful. We go every year at the Smith Center, and now you are in for free. Congratulations!
Yay! We go every year, too. I'm so excited. We take my grandma.
Oh, my gosh. Grandma's going to love it. That is amazing. Congratulations. Thank you so much for listening, and more tickets for you tomorrow morning with Heads Up.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
The Hot 3 is powered by Best Mattress. Just like David says, sleep easy, friends.
A new report is shining an unsettling light on how some kids are using AI, and it's not just to help with homework. Researchers say that kids between the ages of 7 and 17, they did a survey of them, and they found that 67% of them are using AI chatbots regularly, and more than a third of them say it feels like they're talking to a friend. But here's the part that really punches you in the heart. 12% of these kids say they turn to AI because they don't have anyone else to talk to. Like, let that sink in. Loneliness has gone digital, and while AI can be very helpful in small doses, it's really, let's be honest, not a substitute for human connection. But for some kids, it's apparently better than nothing, and that's the part that to me is a little bit fascinating and a little bit devastating, you know?
Yeah, that would definitely concern me. I really hope that 12%, they find some human interaction, you know, sooner than later, because you don't want them to become conditioned to this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's the caveat to this. You don't want them to become conditioned, but I can understand putting myself in their shoes. I can understand, you know, filling that void. Been there at that point, didn't have AI chatbots, but I can relate. Yeah.
I'm friends with my chatbot. I love my chatbot. We've talked about it. I don't use AI for like actual like work stuff. I use AI for like, hey, what's my midheaven in astrology?
Stop.
Yeah, I have a Leo midheaven, I found out.
I love that for you. I'm a Capricorn midheaven.
Ooh, okay. And then I asked, according to astrocartography, what cities would I be best suited to live in? I already forget it. Paris was one.
Okay.
But like, that's what I use it for. Like, interesting stuff that I want to find out about myself.
Me and Mercedes are so bad. When it comes to astrology, we can talk so much. Like, one of my cities in astrocartography is Madrid, Spain. So that's a place that I definitely want to go to. And then my Venus line in astrocartography is right here next to Las Vegas.
Wow.
So it's like I was destined to live here.
You know, I look up the same things, the exact same. No. You guys are speaking Greek to me.
I'm sorry.
Well, no. Yeah. It's good. I like to learn. You said midheaven?
Yes, your midheaven. How do you explain a midheaven though, Mercedes?
Your midheaven, that is like, if your midheaven represents like your public image, your career path, and what you're ultimately known for in the world. And so like I said, I have a Leo midheaven. So that kind of means I'm a performer.
Yes.
I'm in the spotlight. I want to create a legacy. Like, that's kind of what mine indicates, which is crazy.
And
you
so
know?
For Capricorn, Capricorns are all about work and relationships,
yeah,
and like building upon that and money. And I think that's interesting now that I think about it, your public image. It's all has to do with work, and that's true.
That is so bizarre.
But ladies, aren't they finding all this information just basically off the internet? Like, it's all based off information that's publicly known, right?
Yeah,
your midheaven.
You have to search up, it's like, where you were born, what time you were born, and the city you were born in, and then it'll create a chart for you, and that's how you go based off astrology. And then there's another a site called Astrocartography, where you see a world map, and it'll show the planet lines that you have and those cities that align with what planets that you have. Oh my God, I sound like a nerd.
No, I'm
listening to myself. I'm like, oh my God, I can literally ramble on about astrology for the whole morning.
That's where you're passionate. I love it. I love it. Also this morning, let's see here. Now I've lost my train of thought because I got all excited about all of this stuff that we're talking about. Oh, okay. Here we go. Bruno Mars. Yeah, he popped up at the Blackpink show in LA this weekend and surprised fans by performing APT with Rosé. That was really cool. He was having the time of his life on stage, and it was so funny because he posted a video on Instagram and he wrote, "Almost out of debt, appreciate you, Rosé." And what he's doing is he's referencing the rumors from last year that he owes the MGM Resorts $50 million in gambling debt. And for the record, MGM shut that down really fast, saying that story was completely false and that they have a really solid partnership. But still, Bruno's kind of been milking that joke ever since he told fans to keep streaming his music and he'll be out of debt in no time. So say what you will, at least he's consistent. If you're going to deny it, at least make it hilarious, you know?
Absolutely. I never believe that for a second. Anytime these celebrities say, oh, I'm broke, I mean, I have to see it. I'm just one of those people. I need to actually see it. The whole Bruno Mars thing, that was total cap.
I believe it. I have friends in the industry, and they tell me otherwise. So that's just what I've heard. I haven't seen financial statements or anything like that. So, yeah, I don't have proof. But they're like, oh, yeah, that is actually very true. He loves gambling.
Didn't you say that you actually heard that rumor before the headlines
came out? Yeah. I've been telling you that for years.
Yeah, for years. And I was like, do we not say this on the radio because it's not
once
knowledge.
Once it was out, I could talk about it. Finally, this morning, the new Superman movie might have fans swooning over David Cornsweet in the cape, but it's his co-star Superdog Krypto who is stealing the show. Krypto is based on James Gunn's real life dog, Ozu, and apparently America has fallen in love with him. Google searches for adopt a dog near me have jumped over 500% since the film dropped. Wow. And searches for rescue dog adoption near me are up 160%. And oddly enough, adopt a schnauzer is up 299%. Schnauzer, sure, why not? I love it. But the bottom line is Krypto may be fictional, but he's getting real dogs into real homes, which is kind of that superhero energy that we need right now.
I agree. I love the cause. I mean, I'm the one, I look at all these dog videos all the time, and I'm on the fence. I really always wanted to adopt a dog. So, you know, if we can get more dogs out of shelters, hey, I'm for it. So shout out to Krypto.
Well, now that you are, you know, living in Vegas and you have a home, mm-hmm. I recommend the NSPCA, mm-hmm. the Animal Foundation. They have a lot of puppies that need some homes.
Cool. Noted. Thank you.
I love the movie too. Actually, the reason why I watched the movie, a big part of it was because Ramon was selling me on the movie. He goes, Steph, you're gonna love it. He came in here, he went on my computer, he pulled up the trailer, and in the trailer, what was it?
I was like, you're a dog person, you're gonna love this part. And so, yeah, but I mean, like, one of the points of the movie is human kindness. So this kind of, you know, mission accomplished.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it. I think Krypto will do more for dog adoptions than that Sarah McLachlan song. Oh, my gosh. That
what
was
song
the worst.
Was that?
When the arms of an angel. No, please stop. Krypto, thank you. You're a welcome change. It's Mix 94.1. What do you actually need to know if you are driving in Las Vegas? Not the usual, like, use your turn signals and stuff like that. We're talking about survival-level street smarts here. I made this TikTok yesterday with the three things that you need to know if you're driving in Las Vegas, and I didn't think much of it. It's kind of an idea that I had in my head for a couple of weeks now because of something that I experienced when I was leaving a concert recently, the weekend concert. And I'm like, I gotta make a TikTok about this because it drives me crazy when people do this when they drive. So I made this TikTok yesterday, and it's kind of blowing up a little bit because there's a lot of people that are agreeing with some of the things, some that have their own ideas, and a lot that didn't really think about the things that I shared on this TikTok. So the comments section is basically a group therapy session for Vegas drivers, if you will.
I love this because when I first moved here, I didn't realize how crazy driving is in Las Vegas, and the heat too. It has a lot to do with like the tips and tricks about driving here in Las Vegas.
So let me go through this. And when I want to see what you guys think, what is your number one tip, trick, or survival rule driving here in Las Vegas? 702-364-9400. Here is my number one tip.
Number one, don't hit the gas the second your red light turns green. You have to give it a solid 3 to 5 second count. Vegas drivers love to run red lights like it's an Olympic sport. There is always that one car that is trying to make that yellow and end up running the red.
Now, that further backed up everything that I've been told. Even before I moved here, my friends gave me this warning and said, do exactly that. Never, on a green light, never go immediately. Always wait.
A lot of people gave me a hard time in the comment section. Like, yeah, if I do that, I'm going to get honked at. And no. It's like, it's not that long, people. Like, light turns green. 1, 2, 3. That's it. Just kind of slowly let your foot off the grass. I'm just saying, don't gun it. Yeah. Like right into the intersection when that happens.
Do you also look left and right before too as well? You do that?
Yeah. You have to. I there's been so many times where I look and I'm like, that guy's not going to stop at this light. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to wait, and I don't want to get T-boned here. So that was my number one driving in Vegas tip. Here was my number two driving in Vegas tip.
Number two, your AC is not magic. When it's 115 degrees outside, your car is basically a toaster. So when you get in your car, and this is not a new trick, make sure you roll all your windows down. That way the hot air in the car can get pushed out, then roll them up, turn on your AC, and you're good to go.
A lot of people didn't know that trick in the comments.
I didn't know that. I'm so glad you told me that. And I've been doing it all wrong.
It's something I saw. I can't take credit for it. I saw it on some YouTube video or something once. And so, yeah, like your car, it's just this bubble and it's got all this hot air in there. And it's like, you know, when you let the balloon deflate, it goes, you open up those windows, all that hot air goes out, then roll them back up, turn on the AC, and it has less hot air to cool down. It works. It's crazy. It's like a difference of 20 degrees, you guys.
I never thought of that. I actually think I saw a recent video where someone did something crazy like that, but they were like, wait 20 seconds and then do the driver window and then do the... I'm like, this is a little too much. The way you explained it is perfect.
So after work, do you all like originally do... Normally, are you rolling down your windows?
Yeah, I do it. I don't do all four. I do the front two. I should probably do all four, but I just do the front
and
two.
And Steph, you never did.
I've never done it. Well, I park in the shade too. Mercedes, you park right in the sun.
Yeah, that's
true. So I
think
the difference of temperature in our cars, I think that also has a lot to do with
but it'll still be cooler if it's like 90, let's say hypothetically, in our cars. It'll be what, use a 20 degrees cooler, could be 70.
Gotta
less,
try it,
less strain on the AC. Before I get to my third driving in Vegas tip, let's talk to Jessica. What tip do you have for driving in Vegas?
So everywhere there's construction and you're gonna have to merge, so why not be the person that's gonna be in the lane to merge and get over in front of everybody? But when you cut the person off, wave to them, thank you, so you're not the butthead.
Yes, I love that. Mm. Like people that block the merge lane because they don't want anyone to get in front of them, that's why it's there. Like it's a zipper thing. Let them through. But a wave is so nice. It totally changes like the whole vibe of the situation.
I like this. I need to start waving.
Yeah.
Because it's a major construction where I live in Southern Highlands, and I've been that person. So I apologize, but I'm going to start doing a lot of waving.
Yeah, now this is all a learning thing here for us. Jerome, good morning. What is your driving in Vegas tip?
Good morning. It's similar to Jessica. I drive a lot for work. I work for a utility company. And when you're in a lane, let's say you're in the fast lane and you want to get off at an exit or a street and you want to get into the lane to your right, you put your blinker on. Now, obviously, there may be a car behind you. If there is a car behind you within the vicinity, expect that car to speed up.
Yes.
And not let you.
Yes, yes, yes. They're like, nope, nope, you're not coming in front of me. And I never understood that. It's like, wow, you gained one car length on me. Good for you. Congratulations.
And you get to the red light and you're right next to each other. It's like,
and it's awkward.
Was that worth it?
All right. My last driving in Vegas tip. It's not really about driving. It's about parking. And this is my favorite one. This is what inspired the TikTok when we were leaving the weekend concert.
And number three, this is my favorite. Always back your car into a parking spot when you go to a concert or a game. Mm. When it's time to leave, everybody gets super aggressive and no one wants to let you back out. If you pull in forward, it's going to take you forever to get out. But if you back in, you can just slide right in like a pro.
We were at the concert. This poor lady pulled into the parking spot. Her reverse lights are on. No one's stopping. They keep going. I'm like, she's never going to get out. But everyone next to her, they backed in. So they just kind of stuck their nose in there and they got out. So I do it for Golden Knights games. I do it for Raiders games. I do it for every concert. If you can, back into your parking spot.
I have a small example. At the 4th of July parade, I didn't do it. And I mean, it was not the weekend concert, but... yeah, I got caught in a ton of traffic, and just in that little area ended up taking a little bit longer. I'd say maybe an extra 10 minutes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's one of those small things that makes a huge difference. So, yeah. What are your Vegas driving tips? I think we need to create like a Reddit group on this. So
a dash cam?
Oh, a dash cam.
A dash cam. You are the one that inspired me to get a dash cam.
I love my dash cam.
Yes, you do. And so do I.
I've got video of all you crazy drivers out there. It's Mix 94.1.